driving south from Amman and Jordan, down the eastern side of the Jordan River, you come across, eventually, a mountain called Mount Nebo. And I was there a number of years ago, and a couple of friends, and we hired the cheapest, no me, we hired the cheapest car you could find. That's that little thing that had about 1,000 cc's. And it was the cheapest car that I think whoever the hire company was had. And we started to try and go up this part of the mountain, Mount Nebo. And as you climb Mount Nebo, it's quite steep, and you're down through the gears. But as you get further and further up the climb, you can stop at viewing points. And there you can see right across the Jordanian Valley, right from the Jordanian side, right into Israel, across that vast region. And the day that we were there, I remember it was not like one of our cloudy days that we have in Northern Ireland, but this beautiful sunny day, an autumn sort of sunny day, where you could see literally for miles and miles and miles. And this morning, if you have a Bible with you, I just want you to join with me if you would. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 34. And I want to think today of, in many ways, this is the last Sunday of 2020. I could talk a lot about 2020. We've all talked a lot about 2020. But I'm just thinking about the change from the old to the new. In a few days' time, we'll celebrate, or whatever way we want to look at it, New Year. 2021 will come in a few days. And what will that mean? Well, in one way, it's just going to be another day, another year. But there is something in that, the passing from the old to the new, looking back and looking forward. And in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1, it says, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali," that's around the area of Galilee, "the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah," that's the area right around there, Jerusalem, "as far as the western sea, the Mediterranean. The Negev," that would be the desert area, "and the plain," that is the valley of Jericho, "the city of trees, as far as Sur. And the Lord said to him, 'This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there.'" Moses, the great leader of Israel, 120 years of age, for the last 40 years has been leading the children of Israel through many different desert areas and different parts. I remember even that time in Jordan, staying one night in the desert, not that far away from this, on down a couple hundred miles, but right down in the desert. And the area where they would have encamped as the children of Israel, there's really not much there. Maybe mountains and just this vast plains. In many ways, you wonder how someone could almost exist in the midst of that. Even the place we stayed in, this outbuilding, I remember, and the tap, the water hardly even dropped out of the tap. Just living in a sparse, desert-like area. And Moses had led the children of Israel for all these years. The great leader, the one chosen of God, the one who had done the miracles, God had done the miracles, but the man that God had used with the miracles of Egypt, the man that God had led these people through. And it says in verse 5, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab," that would be on that Jordanian side, "according to the word of the Lord. And he was buried in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows the place of his burial to this day." Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were undimmed and his vigor unabated. And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. It was the end of a chapter. It was the end of a life lived for God. It was a life that God had used mightily for him. And yet in the history of Israel, in the people of God, there comes this closing chapter in the life of this man. And he never sees, or he never sets, he sees, but he never sets foot in the promised land, the land that he had marched towards year in and year out across those desert lands. And there's something in this with all our lives, many ways, something about how God buries his workmen, but the work carries on. There's a humbling thing in this as well. And sometimes you've seen it. I've seen it in life with knowing people and people who have been used of God, servants of God. But it reminds us of our lives are brief, but perfect in time. God has given us a perfect time. But it's to reflect in time. And even today, as we reflect back in 2020, and the Bible talks about that in Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born and a time to die. And there's a time to do things whenever we have the strength, whenever God has placed us in a certain place. And maybe today God has placed you in a certain place in life as a Christian. And God desires of you to do the best you can for him. I was reading last night, I'll not mention the name of the guy, but he was one of the pop stars from a way back, and he's now reached 52 years of age. He claims that he has some faith. I'm not too sure what faith he has, but he's reflecting on life. And he talks about this life as like a flicker that passes almost so quickly. He's reached a stage in life where he's thinking about what will the future hold, because life is passing very quickly for him. And in verse 9 it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses." All of a sudden, the next chapter opens. Not here in the Bible, but then it will in a moment as we go into Joshua 1. But the next chapter in the life of the children of Israel opens. And this man, he's already been in Scripture. He's already been used of God. Joshua, a man used of God both in prayer, where he stayed in the tent of meeting, even when Moses left, where he was the man who led them in battle while Moses was on the mountain holding up his hands, as Joshua fought the battle for the Lord. Here was one that had been used of God, and now his time had come to lead, to follow in the footsteps of Moses. I'm sure Joshua was wondering what really lay ahead for him. Moses was to lead them in the wilderness. Joshua was to claim the inheritance. Our God is a God who gives. And he gives and we receive that inheritance. And this was an inheritance for the children of Israel. And Joshua was going to be the one to claim the inheritance, the land, geographically the land. For us today, it's not a physical land that we're to claim, but a spiritual land, spiritual kingdom. For the kingdom of God is with us. And it says, "So the people of Israel obeyed him, did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there was not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel." And if you just flick over now and turn to the next chapter, actually, it's quite amazing. The Bible doesn't always work this way, how it works from Deuteronomy 34 into Joshua 1, and this immediate following on in this story. And it says in Joshua 1 and verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. Can you imagine the feeling of Joshua? What lay before him? He was picking up the mantle, almost like Elisha with Elijah. He was hearing these words about this servant of God, Moses, and his great leader was gone. And here he was, faced with leading a people who were often rebellious. The mighty Jordan River was lying before them. And beyond that, these cities where some of the spies had returned and said, they're like giants in the land. I wonder, as you're sitting here today and as you're listening online, what life for you is maybe like even at this moment in time. Maybe God has asked you to do something, or you sense the call of God, and you just wonder, how could I ever do that? I remember many years ago myself taking on the work in the Belfast City Mission. And I remember walking up Elmwood Avenue in Belfast with Wally Cowan. And it wasn't a work like Joshua was going to do. I don't mean that in any sense. But to me, it was terrifying. To take on a work in a city amongst people, many of whom had no time for God, and amongst people as well from other nations who had come to Belfast, and wondering how could I ever do any of that work. And maybe God has called you to something this morning. Even here recently, we've had eldership elections. Maybe God is calling some to something very specific in the church. And I stand here as someone who's an elder for the last 26 years in this church. And it's a great calling. It's a tremendous calling. And any calling that God gives to us is tremendous. Whether that be in Sunday school and in Bible class that I've been involved in, or something else in life. It could be in secular work. It could be in anything. And maybe God has called you to something and you fear. How will I ever cope with that work? And it was the same here in this story of Joshua. And it says in verse 5, no man, this is what God said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And here comes one of the greatest promises in Scripture. And as a believer this morning, a promise that I quote to myself probably every day, I will not leave you or forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is no separation with our God. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about those amazing things that Paul talks about. No height, no depth, angels, demons, life, death, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. No separation, because we are in the hand of God. It doesn't mean life will be easy. It doesn't mean you won't fear. Because you see, fear is written all over the Bible. But Jesus turns around on so many occasions and says, fear not. Fear not. How many times with the disciples were they frightened? In the boat, he's asleep. Doesn't he know we're going to drown? Where's the life jacket? Awaken him quickly. Fear gripped the disciples on many occasions. Fear grips the children of God on many occasions. But he's a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13 quotes these same words, talking about being content with life and having enough. He will never leave us, even in times of despair. Be strong and courageous. That's not something that you hear on the TV or the world telling you to grit your teeth and get up there and do it. That's be strong and courageous, knowing that God is with us. That's what he was saying to Joshua. And in fact, later on in the book of Joshua, he meets this captain of the army, Christ himself. God is with him in some of the most amazing battles described in Scripture. And Joshua is going to lead, even though he's frightened, even though he's not courageous, even though he wonders how he's going to do it. For you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. A promise. And the promise of the Scriptures is to go. This was a whole go. It wasn't about sitting. Go over this Jordan in verse 2. Go. There was nothing here about stopping. And in many ways, the commission of God in Matthew 20 is to go and make disciples of all nations. To go. To do. Yes, we need to pray. We need to be before the Lord. But there's also a time for action, a time to go for God. Only be strong and very courageous. And then be careful. Being careful, this is verse 7, to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. And how do you know what to do? How do you know what to do? Do not turn to it from the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law, the Scriptures, the Bible, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. There's a challenge. There's a challenge for myself. Meditate. To read. To pray. And then to meditate upon the Scriptures themselves. But you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. People sometimes ask you, how do I know what to do? How do I know what God's will is for my life? Surely here is one of the answers. Search the Bible. Read it. Pray. Study. Meditate. And he will lead you. He will guide you. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 139 quotes these words. I love these words. Verse 7. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? I remember reading these words actually at one time in North Africa. Looking at the sea far from home. And thinking about, where can I go from your presence? No matter where I go, you're with me. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Maybe we need encouragement that no matter where we are, He holds us. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. But what happens today as you enter a new year and you haven't got any of these promises? Because you're still not a child of God. That little verse this morning, he came to see if his people from their sin. God is a holy God. God is a God of justice. Yes, he's a God of mercy, but he's a God of justice. How many times have you heard of the wonders of this God? How many times have you heard of the one who died on the cross? That awful death to set you free. How many more times must God speak to you concerning your need of Him? How many more times will you reject the very Christ Himself? He tells us in Matthew 11 to come to me. All you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will remove the burden of your sin. I will give you eternal life, because he who has the Son has life, but he who rejects him is lost forever. William Burns, at 17 years of age, was converted to Christ, a Presbyterian, back in the 19th century, born in 1815. And the story is told of when he was 17 years of age, he was brought by his mother from a quiet town called Kilsyth to the bustling city of Glasgow in Scotland. His mother became separated from her son while she was shopping. And after retracing her steps, she discovered him in an alley with tears streaming down his face. She could see he was suffering great agony and said, Willie, my boy, what ails you? Are you ill? With broken cries, he replied, Oh, mother, mother, the thud of these Christless feet on the way to hell breaks my heart. Does it break our hearts? The thud, thud, thud of Christless souls going to hell. Burns was used of God mightily. While Robert Murray McShane was in Israel, of all places, Burns took to the pulpit in Dundee. And God used this man who knew the Lord, who loved the Lord, and revival broke out in Scotland, in that area. I wonder what God is calling us to. The people of God around Burns' time, it said they travailed in prayer even throughout the night at times. Burns himself was a man of prayer, a man who knew the Lord deeply. It says in 1847 he was ordained and appointed to China as the first missionary of the Presbyterian Church of England. His itinerant ministry took him across large parts of China. He was known as the man of the book. He translated Pilgrim's Progress and the Psalms and wrote a number of hymns in Chinese. He was a deep friend of Hudson Taylor. Taylor actually saw him as a mentor. And he died 53 years of age with a fever in China. Sold out for his God. And so revival, even in parts of China. What would God ask you or ask me to do today? We need to seek his face afresh. If as a believer in this new year coming and a new season, Lord, what would you have for me to do for you? We had a former minister who used to talk about you day with your boots on. How very true. And if you're not in Christ, why not? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. We thank you for the promises of God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, for you are our God. And Father, today we just pray that you would continue to work in each of our lives, but help us to be serious with you as time marches on. And for any who are listening, Father, may you come, O God, and save as only you can save, and draw them to Christ, even now. In Jesus' name we pray.